5, 4, 3, 2.
All right, everybody calm down. Everybody back up.
It's 2024.
Back up.
Okay.
We're still here.
It's normal.
We're not going
this
anywhere.
Is normal.
Welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. I'm Steven.
And I'm Matt.
And never mind the silliness, okay?
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere. So
never mind the silliness. My favorite
Sex Pistols album. Yes, exactly. that did not come out.
No.
And it came out in, I don't know, well, it didn't even come out in this decade.
We'll see.
Hey, we'll get to it because we got 9 of these episodes. What episodes, you may ask? We're doing another decade retrospective.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for those of you who've been with the show for the last almost 5 years.
Yep.
Which this is the fifth anniversary. This year's the fifth anniversary of the Radcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know that we did these decade retrospectives. Our first go at it was the 1990s, because of course.
For some reason, we started at 99 and worked backwards.
Yeah.
And then that was still fun.
Yep. And then when we came back with the Radcast in 2022, we did the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Again, started with 2009 and went backwards, except this time we are tackling the 1980s, which
yes,
we are very excited for, although it's a decade we never spent even a second of life in.
Yep.
We are very excited to cover because there's so much of the 1980s that we're fascinated by, which is the sea change.
And love,
not just in this country, but globally,
mm-hmm,
but also the music, the movies, the television.
Yep.
The 1980s laid the groundwork for a lot of what would become popular or people would become jaded towards in the 90s and in the 2000s.
Yep.
And we're going to tackle everything that we can, because with these decade retrospectives, if you've listened to them, you know we can't touch absolutely everything that happens in these years.
There's plenty of times we'll listen back to an episode and be like, this came out and
mm-hmm,
this came out.
Yeah.
There's things we're just going to miss.
Mm-hmm.
So if we miss your favorite thing, so sorry.
Please hit us up on social media because we try and be as thorough as we can.
Yes.
Not just with these, but with anything we want to be
mm-hmm
informative about.
Yep.
Speaking of hitting us up, where can they hit us up?
They can hit us up on social media.
What on social media?
Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram, we're at The Radcast. Cast is spelled with a K. The Radcast is all one word. And then you can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
All your podcast apps.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever applicable, rate and review, please.
Yes, please.
It helps us out.
Please do. Of course, whenever we've done these decade retrospectives, a couple of times we had guests on.
Mm-hmm.
For our 1992 episode, we had
Chris Haney,
one of the newly minted five timers.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2001, we had Matt Swofford on.
Yep.
And I noticed in 1980, we're planning on having a few more guests on to help us kind of talk about the 1980s. But only one of them that we came across actually lived a formative years in the 1980s,
yes,
to where she could probably regale us about personal experiences.
Uh-huh.
For those of you who saw the episode title, you notice we have a special guest with us. And it's not only her returning to the show, and also for the first time in 2024, it's a special occasion. I don't know if you remember. Our mom, Donna Webster, is here with us. Hello, Mom.
Good morning.
Hi, Mom.
Good morning, guys.
I don't know
You don't have your morning voice on?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No.
Listened to the Country Christmas episode, which got a lot of downloads and did really well, she had this NPR morning voice like, hello.
Mm-hmm. Mom, you're back with us to talk about the year 1980 because it's your last year of not having children.
That's correct.
That's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you also turned 20 in 1980.
Yes,
so
I did.
Is your the first half of 1980 was your last year as a teenager as well. You got married then, you turned 20, and it was your last year, of course, of not being a mother. So
last year of freedom.
Last year of freedom. The golden year.
Last year of
happiness. I was the last part of 1980, I was expecting Amanda.
That's true.
But yes, 1980 mm-hmm was a milestone year for me.
Yeah, oh, totally.
I mean, it was a number of firsts.
Mm-hmm. First time married.
First time married. Still married.
Still married. Almost 45
but I
years.
Was, yeah, I was 19 when I got married on June the 21st.
Yes.
And then on July the 20th, I turned 20.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
How about that? Yeah. Still couldn't drink a beer, though.
Nope. No, I couldn't.
Well,
I didn't. That was okay because I don't like beer.
Wasn't legal drinking age 18 back then?
No.
It wasn't? It was,
no, I think it was 19 in Illinois for beer. Okay. You could go over to Illinois and get beer.
Yeah.
Little Kings for Dad.
Ah, yes.
That, you know.
But for spirits, it was 12.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, drafted
into wars, yeah. May as well let them drink.
And I know, I mentioned other appearances here. It's actually something we're going to commemorate here in a second. But just out of curiosity, I don't know. Because in episodes past, you've mentioned how, you know, being an old lady, your memory kind of withers away. But do you think you could try? Please, for the sake of the episode, do you think you could try to remember 44 years ago?
And it's not just being old; it's from having mom brain.
Yeah, seven children. Each child, a little more of your brain goes.
Sucks a little more life out of
you.
You
know what? And that was my joke with people. Mm-hmm. Before people came up with this mom brain stuff, my joke was, every time you have a child, you kill brain cells.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
A little more of your brain goes into your child.
Well, in the last couple years ago, I read an article or heard something on the radio or somewhere. They said that having a baby is, and being pregnant is the equivalent of running a marathon.
It's
like, oh yeah, that's symbolic too.
You've run several marathons. You've run more marathons than Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should rub that in his face. you should be so brazenly brash about it.
In 1980, Dad tried to get me out and running.
Of course.
Well, yeah.
I said, I can't do this.
You
baby.
Found out the hard way that you had asthma.
I can't do that.
Was that? Did you know you had asthma then?
Or? No, I didn't.
You didn't find out until you were. I mean, you were an adult back then, but
ten
after you found out you were having twins.
No, I
found. Lungs are scarred.
Yeah, I found out that after I had a bad case bronchitis.
Yeah.
In 2011, I think it was.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. Oh. And then since then, I've had to use inhalers.
Yeah.
I found out after the fact that evidently my parents knew I had asthma when I was a baby.
Out of sight, out of mind, I guess.
And the pediatrician told them not to tell me.
What?
Because I could hysterically bring on an asthma attack. This is 1961, 62.
Did you had times when you were a kid, I'm sure, to where you're like, oh, why can't I breathe?
It wasn't that bad.
Oh,
no,
okay.
It was when I was younger,
don't
mainly.
Tell her.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I remember all the cigarette smoke I was around when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Because everybody that back then smoked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even
Grandpa
my dad.
Smoked for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He started smoking when he was 12.
While he drank spirits.
Behind the barn.
Yes. Yeah.
But,
well,
you know,
he stopped after you were born, though, right?
He quit smoking before he moved to Swallow, so probably 69, 70,
he quit smoking,
so he smoked a long time, but everybody they knew smoked.
I mean, that's what you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So after Uncle Scott and before Aunt Becky were born, so we know who he, you know.
Yeah.
as you said on Christmas Eve, Aunt Lori and I got braces, Uncle Scott and Aunt Becky got vacations. So we see where Grandma and Grandpa's head were at.
Yeah.
I'm gonna finally
stop smoking. I have a new lease on life. Donna and Lori, get in here. Smoke the rest of these for me. I still have half a pack left. I still have half a carton left.
So anyway, 1980.
Yeah, 1980.
But before we get into that, this is a special occasion because last week we celebrated Dave Little going to the Five Timers Club. Mom, I don't know if you remember us saying that this was a special appearance for you because you're in the Five Timers Club now.
Yes, I am. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, boys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're
Huey
welcome.
Lewis in the News,
yeah.
Dutch, Surf Ninjas, Christmas, Six Mix, and now a few weeks later, 1980.
Yep.
Well, and I almost wore my tiara.
When did you get a tiara and why do you have a tiara?
In 1950. No, not 1950.
What?
In 1950, before
what? So no, you're 73.
The
history of the Tierra.
Yeah, I got. 1950. It was a big deal for me. It was a big deal
it was
when
your
I
retirement.
Turned 50.
Or, oh, oh yeah.
When
oh,
I
yeah.
turned 50, you guys
yeah.
remember?
Yeah.
And I went to Fast Studies for the
yeah.
first time. But
you've
we're not talking
for...
about my turning 50. We're
so,
talking
so,
about
so you've had
1980.
Yeah. When you were turning 20.
When
yes.
I was turning 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Life was better because you didn't have
yeah,
kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lived in these apartments down the street.
Yeah.
So, couple buildings down from here.
So it's very poetic that we're
yeah.
doing 1980,
yeah.
you know, here on your fifth appearance in apartments relatively close to where you and Dad
yeah.
lived after you got married.
Yeah.
Enough of that. Mom, thank you for all your support, of
yeah.
course. We mentioned Dave since day one, Samantha, Dave. But, I mean, you've...
Thank
just
you for giving
day
you
one
life.
For everything. Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
I'm eternally grateful.
Yes, but thank you for your support of whatever show we did, and welcome
yes.
to your well-earned spot in the Five Timers Club.
And I think of every episode that you guys have done, I've listened to all the episode except for that one.
Except our Juggalo
Jake.
Episode.
Oh, yeah.
Where we talked about
yeah.
Whoop
Jake.
Dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
it's like, I just which, couldn't believe we, it.
It's
yeah.
very, very oh. profane. Yes,
the subject matter isn't the greatest.
Yes,
no.
exactly. I should have given a warning. I
yeah.
apologize. But for those of you that are curious, if you want to sift past through all the Juggalo nonsense, there's actually some very like poignant things that we
yes.
say
yeah.
about acceptance.
And I usually enjoy a Jake episode.
Yeah,
yeah
exactly.
Of course.
We made up for it with his with our six mix with them.
Yeah.
But for those, welcome Mom and welcome all of you. If this is your first time joining us or your first time listening to one of our decade retrospectives, we talk about all the various movies, television,
yeah.
music events. Also, we talk world events. We throw in the deaths, the notable deaths
mm-hmm.
of 1980, and
sports.
Then we also throw in sports. This is the dawning of the video game era. I mean, we're coming
yeah.
out of the late 70s
yep.
when console gaming became very popular. If you listen to our Console Wars episode, you know in the early 80s, it kind of peered off in America, and then the Renaissance happened in the mid 80s, which we'll talk about when we get to the mid 80s.
Mm-hmm.
However, we're going to talk about all manner of things, starting with the deaths.
Yep.
Of 1980.
The sayonara suckers of 1980.
Sayonara suckers. Now, Mom, of course, anything you remember, anything
mm-hmm.
you want to add, you know,
yeah.
jump
interject.
In, interrupt us.
Okay.
Especially with this first one, John Lennon.
You know what? It was sad, but
mm-hmm.
it was not the effect on me that it
right.
had on a lot of people.
Oh, sure.
I was not a... I like the early Beatles,
mm-hmm.
the songs that were the poppy.
Yeah, this,
you
like
know,
the early 60s.
Early 60s.
Yeah.
Well, and actually, that's yeah. one of the first songs I remember hearing.
Yeah.
I couldn't have been more than two or three, was a Beatles song.
Yeah.
I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, but it was not like when, for me, it was not like when Elvis died.
Mm,
right.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot
mm-hmm.
of people, it was the equivalent
oh, he,
of
yeah.
when Elvis passed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was very sad and it was horrible.
Oh yeah, you were so shocking.
Did not have the same emotional
right.
effect on me.
Yeah, I mean, but how much of the Beatles music was played in the house or how much did
None.
You so Elvis makes more sense, but
yeah.
it's one of those things where not only John Lennon is an icon in the Beatles,
yeah.
he also
right.
throughout the 1970s
yeah.
like was an icon mm-hmm. in his own right. His stuff
yeah.
with Yoko Ono, Plastic Ono band or whatever.
Yeah, whatever screeching that
yeah.
was.
That was just, yeah, it did not appeal. You
mm-hmm.
know, we were more fans of, especially
monkeys.
Dad, no, was more a fan of Paul McCartney and Wings.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
And your George Harrison.
George Harrison,
yeah.
yeah.
To which I saw, this is kind of in bad taste, but it's funny. I saw
going.
A meme on Instagram to where it was like a news article and it said like, you know, studies now show what John Lennon's last words were. And someone commented,
"Yeah!"
But I laughed pretty hard at that.
So although it didn't affect you, nothing wrong that it didn't
no.
affect you. It was a huge, huge hit. So big, in fact, that it was announced, like Howard Cosell announced it at the end
yeah.
of
yeah.
Monday Night Football game. And then the coverage lasted.
It was
days.
Just very, it was very shocking too.
Especially
because
the,
he was killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was
by
murdered.
A nut.
Mm-hmm. Outside of his apartment. So
yeah,
in New
yeah.
York, outside of his home.
Right.
So it's a very sad thing.
Yes, yes.
Next, Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
Well, that was really bad for, yeah. I love me some KFC.
Yes.
Kentucky sure Fried Chicken.
You mourned for days.
Yeah.
The death of Colonel Sanders.
I burned a KFC bucket in effigy.
Funny, I actually had a dream the other night that you were making fried chicken at your house, and it looked very good.
And I woke up
upset because I couldn't eat that fried chicken.
Yeah. You know what? I did several years ago when I was still cooking.
Yeah.
I hardly ever cook now. But I found a really good
fried chicken
recipe, and I finally got it to the point. But it's just, you know, life happens, and easier to go to KFC.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Plus,
it's a little...
You're probably remembering that.
Oh, yeah. It's a little shaky, too, when you're just, like, on your stove with a hot oil popping all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, but Colonel Sanders, of course, you know, the man on all of KFC's advertising, the man who, you know, came with the whatever 35,000 herbs and spices, whatever.
Or whatever.
But what I know him as, the man who claimed God helped him poop out a cancerous tumor, famous restaurateur, but more famous for the 1967 movie Blast Off Girls. So I'll tell you what will help us blast off, girls, my famous brown gravy from my Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant.
He was in a movie?
He was in a movie called Blast Off Girls. He was on several movies.
Water Boy.
he was already dead.
No, Colonel Fand at the old wrong.
Oh, right.
Like, something's wrong with his medulla oblongata. But now, of course, Jesse Owens, who won four gold medals in the 1936 Olympics in Munich, which was the rise of the Nazi regime. He debunked pretty much what Hitler was trying to give off was the Aryan race was the more superior race.
Yeah.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah. That one, I saw that when I was doing a little research. It's like, oh, yeah. It's like he was still alive. But, I mean, he was huge.
Yeah.
But he was also huge in...
Oh, influential director.
Yes. A TV. Mm-hmm. He had a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really watch
Laughing.
It because it was scary. You know? Yeah. I did see a couple
What's
episodes.
What's going on with Alfred Hitchcock?
But Fred Rerun Barry. Yeah. I don't know if it was Alfred Hitchcock or Night Gallery, where there was an episode where this little girl really wanted a life-size doll.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the episode, she ended up turning into the doll.
Ah,
it was in the box,
okay.
And that freaked me out.
Yeah,
so,
of course. In any manner of those anthology shows,
yes.
Twilight Zone, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, Night Gallery,
yeah.
mm-hmm. Outer Limits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Alfred Hitchcock, I mean, he was making movies in the 40s and the 50s, but his stuff
30s,
in, this, in the 30s.
Yeah.
But Psycho, Rear Window, Reasonable Doubt, North by Northwest, the stuff in this, the Birds.
Rope.
But the huge, huge boom period in the 60s
for
him.
I think his directing style changed some.
Yeah.
Some of the earlier movies were more suspenseful and not the gore like he did in Psycho and The Birds.
Yeah.
I mean, The Birds is the first movie of his that I remember seeing scared the crap out of me.
Yes. Speaking of having the crap scared out of them, Steve McQueen, because after you die, you evacuate your bowels.
Yes.
But Steve,
of course.
You know, great heartthrob, action hero of the time,
rough,
Steve McQueen.
Grizzled,
the cool man's
classic,
man.
Cool.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, I'll watch The Great Escape anytime just to see him.
Yeah. Yeah. Bullet.
Yeah.
Peter Sellers.
Oh, that was a shock. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, great comedic actor. I'd say the only movie we watched with him growing up that
Pink
I
Panther
definitely
movies.
See with those, but also he was in the movie Murder by Death. Which he plays a Japanese man.
Yes.
And it's funny.
Through today's context.
I am all about context and realizing that it was a different time. That doesn't mean it wasn't, you know, kind of racist.
Yeah.
But of course, in the Pink Panther movies, you know, when he talks to Keto, like he says, again, things of the time.
Yeah.
But Peter Sellers, John Bonham, Bonzo from Led Zeppelin.
Drummer for Led Zeppelin.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of him?
I heard of Led Zeppelin, but...
Okay. I thought you were going to say, I would put my headphones on.
I was...
His name was Harvey Zeppelin.
No, what? That was one of those that's not my style of music.
Yeah.
I have an eclectic taste now in music.
Oh, yeah.
But I've never been...
Big into Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I thought you were gonna...
Now, is that Jimmy... No,
Robert Plant.
Robert Plant.
Mm. He did stuff with Alison Krauss.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. I've heard it's good.
I have that album.
Yeah. When I said John Bonham, it looked you were going to start waxing poetic about Moby Dick. it's a John Bonham like
drum specific
song. There's still like other instruments in there, but Bon Scott, the legendary iconic singer of AC/DC. Yep.
Who, to me, it's still their best lead singer.
Yeah,
I think.
I like Brian Johnson, but Bon Scott had that different swagger and attitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mae West.
Yeah, she always kind of grossed me out.
Mae West. Is that because she was such a vixen?
That she just was just kind of crude looking.
Mm. Crude looking?
Yeah. She was
kind of like Sandra Bernhardt.
Yeah. I see.
No, the she was just. Oil. Yeah, it was just like. Really, you know, some of the stuff she was doing late in her life was like, lady, you're an old woman. What are you doing?
Like what? Like flashing passerby?
Well, it says
she was some of those racy movies she made when she was older. It's like,
She was mainly like in the 30s, she was, you know, seen as like a racier.
Type
actress.
Yeah.
Otto Frank. I know, hard cut from actress to Otto Frank, but the patriarch of the Frank family,
Anne Frank's father. Yeah.
If you have if you get a chance to watch it on Disney Plus, there is a great series about Meep Geese. It was awesome, and it showed the another side of the Frank family.
Oh, okay.
And
so it's
and
one of those
he was
Marvel
her boss.
What if shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it was very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say
of
it
course.
Shows, you know, her relationship with Otto Frank.
Okay.
And he was her boss.
Yeah.
And she protected them.
Mm.
Yeah.
And she basically, for a long time, kept it from her husband. Her husband didn't even know.
But just to think of just how tortured that
next 35 years
of his life was, to where most of his family
died
in concentration camps.
Yeah.
Died. They got killed.
Yeah.
But Ian Curtis, lead singer of Joy Division. Jimmy Durante.
Died.
If you've seen the movie, Greedy, like of course Jimmy Durante was also he was the narrator in Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah.
If you grew up with the Rankin Bass movies, but he's a pianist and entertainer of a bygone era. But also, if you've seen the movie Greedy, I don't know how much do you remember ever seeing the Michael J. Fox? It's all star cast.
Kirk Douglas,
it's hilarious.
Michael J. Fox, Phil Hartman.
I don't know that I saw that movie. No,
it's very funny.
I would recommend it. It's very funny. But in Greedy, one of the biggest things is Michael J. Fox is Kirk Douglas's prized grandchild, and one of the reasons was like when he was a kid, he would be like. Where's my special boy? To Jimmy Durante. And like as a kid, he would be like, rink a dink a doo. And then like the way Michael Jackson gets back into the fold
Michael
of things.
Michael J.
Fox. Michael
Jackson shows up.
I'll be your best boy.
It's 1994, so Michael Jackon was, a lot of people.
He was, Jimmy Durante was in one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Frosty the Snowman.
No, not Frosty.
Black Christmas.
He was in a movie called The Man Who Came to Dinner.
Oh, okay.
From 1939-40. Mm. It was 41, somewhere around the early 40s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was not a huge part in that movie, but another interesting thing, going back to Turner Classic movies that I've mentioned many times, he was in a movie where he played a dramatic role.
Hmm.
It took place during Prohibition.
Mm. Okay.
And it was like he was like an undercover. He was basically like a G-man type of character.
Yeah.
And I was shocked when I saw him in that movie.
Because if you've never seen Jimmy Durante, he kind of looks like a living, breathing caricature.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, famous pianist and entertainer died at the age of 86. Next, David Janssen, who played Richard Kimball in the Fugitive TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tex Avery, who created Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, a lot of the early Warner Brothers cartoons.
You know, the Mount Rushmore of cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Elston Howard, who was a 1963 American League MVP, catcher for those Yankees teams of the 1960s. Harry R. Truman, not Harry S. Truman. Conn Smythe, whose name is given to the Conn Smythe Trophy.
The playoff MVP. Or the
Stanley Cup
Stanley
MVP.
Stanley Cup MVP,
Strother Martin, who was the warden in Cool Hand Luke.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Man.
What a great movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Douglas Kinney, who helped create National Lampoon, also was writer on Animal House, Caddyshack.
What are we going to do now, you moron?
He was, that was, I didn't know that at the time, but that was like a big shock.
Oh yeah, he was like relatively
young. He committed suicide.
Yeah.
So that was I mean, people obviously had unfortunately suicide has been a means of people dying for a very long, very long time. But, you know, we're still the 1980s, we're only about 30 years into really what pop culture became, an American 20th century pop culture became, and because of that there was more media attention put on people because it was such an unconventional means, really, at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it also, and like you said, he was still relatively young, and he had just written on Caddyshack, and he was in Animal House a couple years earlier. Raymond Bailey. Raymond Bailey, who played Mr. Drysdale in the Beverly Hillbillies TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Lillian Randolph, who was Annie in It's a Wonderful Life. The maid. Mario Bava, who directed Bay of Blood, the Italian film director. Yeah. Billy Buckwheat Thomas, which I know I was friends with real Buckwheat.
You are not the real Buckwheat. There's an episode of Donahue to where the real Buckwheat shows up and is like, Buckwheat is now homeless and stuff like that. And they're like, Buckwheat from the famous R Gang. And they have like the person who played Spanky come on. And they're you are not the real Buckwheat.
Friends with real Buckwheat, Billy Thomas.
Was this an SNL skit?
No, it was actually on real. Yeah, it was Eddie Murphy as Buckwheat.
It's like,
I am homeless now. But no, it's something that we like to quote with Jake because it's something we watched with Jake for some reason. Because we went through this phase, like season of really getting into like the old R Gang, Little Rascal stuff.
Yeah. Jake grew up with them too, so
so sometimes we'll just text each other like, you are not the real Buckwheat. I was friends with the real Buckwheat.
I won't go on a separate tangent of like, but the R Gang kids, like, you want to talk about, because there's now there's the thing of like all through the decades of having child stars, child actors, a lot of just like
tragedy.
Crummy things and tragedy. Yeah. It's a lot of the R Gang kids, especially the earlier R Gang kids.
Yeah.
It's one of them being Alan Farina Haskins, who is in the R Gang shorts of the silent era as well. Darby Crash, Darby Crash, co-founder of the Germs. Also, Billy Buckwheat Thomas was in the punk band The Germs.
The Germs, yeah. Of course. So those are some of the deaths.
Those are some of the deaths of 1980.
And so I'm going to some of the notable world events of 1980. And I found a website that actually like is really good at, because
is it called like On This Day or
No?
Because there's a site that I used for this month in history.
There are some sites that are very like detailed and like timeline stuff like that. And this website just kind of was like bullet points. So I prefer that because it's stuff for me to weed out. Because who am I to weed out events and say what's notable and what isn't?
There.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
Yeah, exactly.
So some world events. The U.S. defeats the Soviet Union in the Miracle on Ice.
Heck yeah.
All right. USA.
You guys were watching that game, right?
I don't remember.
I think Dad said he was watching it.
Yeah.
But it brought us the classic movie Miracle with Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I'm sure I was just sitting there in awe of your father.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Stop,
please.
You were probably tired from all the running he was making you do.
Miracle would celebrate 20 years.
Yes, we need to do that movie. Mm-hmm. That movie is amazing.
We'll see.
The fact that Kurt Russell never won an Academy Award is bad.
He won one for the Computer War tennis shoes.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Mount St. Helens eruption on May 18th in Washington kills 57.
Did you guys feel any of that?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
A big fart. I'm like, I don't think that's Mount St. Helens.
Big dragon burp.
great dragon burp. The Iran-Iraq war begins in September of 1980. CNN, the cable news network, began broadcasting on June 1st.
I have that in TV as well.
Mm-hmm. 3M begins sales of its latest product, Post-it Notes, invented by Arthur Fry and Spencer Silver.
Johnny Post-it.
Perry Post-it. Post-it notes are invaluable. I still use Post-it notes. Quick reminders. Former Beatle John Lennon is shot to death. A severe summer heat wave in southern U.S. causes 1,117 deaths in 20 states. The U.S. passes the Crude Oil Windfall Profits Tax Act to tax high profits by oil companies, which I'm sure led to those oil shortages.
In the late 70s and early 80s.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, we had minimum amount that we could get. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had to get more than, you know, like say $5 worth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You couldn't go to the gas station and just, well, I mean, a couple bucks back then.
I mean, got you a whole tank of gas. Yeah.
So you had to actually, they wanted you to fill up your tank.
Yeah.
And not just top off your tank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Fire destroys the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas. The killer clown, John Wayne Gacy Jr., sentenced to death for the murder of 33 boys and young men. Zimbabwe, formerly Rhodesia, gains independence. Majority black rule in Zimbabwe. Solidarity trade union formed in Poland, and shipyard workers go on strike. The failed operation by U.S. to free hostages in Iran, which that was a big news thing, too.
Yeah, that was. And actually, because... one of the prisoners was from this vicinity. I think he was from Belleville.
Oh, really?
Rocky, I can't think of his last name.
Yeah.
He was one of the prisoners.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, I didn't do my due diligence to maybe give a quick history of what that hostage crisis was.
That's all right.
But
there's a movie you can watch. I think it's Argo.
Argo with Ben Affleck.
Okay.
Yeah, he won an Oscar for it.
Yeah, exactly. So go check it out.
Go watch Argo.
Yasser Arafat is elected the president of the Palestinian National Council. Ronald Reagan is elected the president of the United States.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to say I voted for him.
Well... Hey, I'm sure there's a lot of people like that. And there's some people who are like, Ronald Reagan's one of the greatest.
At the time, I was working in an office that was strong Republican
leanings.
And things were a little different back then. I mean, with the Republican Party is not what it is now.
Yeah. There was at least a little more, you know, until 5-6 years ago, it seemed the Republican Party still had maybe a little more political dignity to it. Even if you disagreed with most of what they said,
you know, he had the background. He had been an actor.
Yeah,
and he had some good acting roles.
Mm-hmm.
But
with a monkey.
No, not that.
It's like Bonzo goes to college.
But
he had
a background in politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was the president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at that time, I think he was a Democrat
when
he was starting out as an actor. Mm-hmm. And then he was governor of California. Mm-hmm. So he had a background in politics.
Yeah, it wasn't like Donald Trump, where it's just some failed businessman, reality star.
Well,
that was just like, give him a shot.
He had some charisma. He had some,
I don't want to comment on too much that I don't know of. He did do a lot that hurt the economy it, you know, just had lasting residual effects that we still feel today.
Yeah.
We try not to delve too much into politics here.
Right.
That's mainly because we don't know anything,
it's,
really.
I know what I know, but it's not enough to really, like, be a political pundit of any sort.
That should be a song. I know what I know, but it's not enough.
It's a Bob Dylan song.
Yeah.
I know what I know, but it's not enough.
Anyway, you know, Ronald Reagan polarizing, you have your opinions, it's... I don't know. I don't want to be like at least it's not this, because it's all kind of bad in certain lights.
Yeah.
Either way, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
The actor.
So terrorists seize Iran embassy and hostages in London, leading to the British SAS storming embassy and releasing hostages. That's a run-on sentence.
That's okay.
Japan becomes the world's largest auto-producing country.
Mm.
Japanese cars. The U.S. leads a boycott of the Moscow Olympics in protest at the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Oh, and going back to the auto industry, mm-hmm. that was the plot line for Gung Ho.
Oh, Michael Keaton. Movie. Yeah. Okay. I've heard it's a great, that's a funny movie. Yeah.
Isn't that when, watch it. Was it Datsun became Nissan or?
I think it was still, a few years after, mm-hmm. but yeah, Grandpa had a Datsun.
Yeah. I think that's why
he's got a Nissan.
I would say that's why I think he has such an affinity for Nissan still. Yeah. Is because, you know, they used to be Datsun.
Yeah.
And plus Nissan is great.
Yeah, it does. Oh, it's got a great engine on it, Steve. You're going to love it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Spain and the United Kingdom agree to reopen the border between Gibraltar and Spain, which has been closed since 1969. In technology, the first available domestic camcorders are available in Japan.
Mm.
Yeah, the first available fax machines in Japan. 30% of U.S. car sales are imports.
Mm.
Cool, huh?
Yeah.
In Mexico, the first ever natural birth in captivity of a giant panda.
Oh,
yeah.
Mexico.
They named it Post-it Notes.
Very nice.
Very nice. Voyager 1 probe sends the first high-resolution images of Saturn back to scientists and confirms the existence of Janus, a moon of Saturn.
Ah, yeah.
Yes.
I think it's Janus.
Janus.
Hmm. Yeah, keep going.
The release of the Pac-Man arcade game.
Ah, yeah.
In 1980. Did you play many arcade games?
You're a pinball person, mainly.
Yeah. I liked pinball.
Yeah.
And that was more Uncle Scott's thing.
Right.
He had what do you call it? What was the game system?
Oh, Atari.
Okay. And I may have played it a few times. Sure. Yeah. Pac-Man.
It kind of missed you.
Yeah.
If you were going into an arcade or a roller rink or anything, you were looking for a pinball machine.
Well, if I was going to a roller rink, I was going roller skating.
Okay. You got to take a break at some point from roller skating. If you can't have the endurance to run with Dad, then maybe you'd want to take a break from roller skating.
Yeah. No, I enjoy the pinball machine. Maybe not during 1980
childhood.
Yeah, I did not. There were no video games.
You were a real pinball wizard.
Yes.
Yeah. You're who they made the movie Tommy about.
Yeah. Pinball and shooting pool.
There's a John Mellencamp song in there somewhere.
Somewhere.
And then to round out
He was John Cougar back then.
Right, yeah.
Yes. I should have that in here. No, I don't.
Wait,
did he have an album?
Yeah.
Which one?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's called Sucking on Chili Dog.
Okay, because I might have missed it.
That's
okay.
Here we go.
No, already missing stuff.
No, that's...
And then to round out some notable events of 1980, uh-huh. Digital Equipment Corporation Intel and Xerox introduced the DIX standard for Ethernet. So the DIX standard for Ethernet.
Yes. Ethernet, which is the main way for the longest time to where you would connect to the internet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some movies. Let's get to some fun stuff.
All right,
let's get some movies. And if you saw any of these in theater, I don't know how often you were going to the theaters.
We went to the movies a lot.
Okay. All right. So if you
there wasn't a whole lot to do.
Well,
back
and
then.
there was still the drive-in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go see a couple movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was the drive-in. Because I know where West County is right now,
mm-hmm.
West County Mall, there used to be a drive-in. Was that still over there, or was West County Mall?
No, it was a mall back then. No, the drive-in was at 270 in West Florissant.
Okay.
Where the Aldi and it used to be a Deerberg's there.
Yeah. Okay.
It was called Clock Tower when they opened it.
Yeah.
But it was
I
270 drive-in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we were there.
Where the Blockbuster was.
Yeah.
Pasta House and Old Country Buffet.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a drive-in there, and there was one. We went to that one, and then there was one on the Rock Road in St. Anne.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's where there was a Save-A-Lot there for quite a while because they still have the marquee out there.
Oh, cool.
So
there's probably a number of these you guys might have seen in the, uh-huh. either you and Dad or just you. So if you saw any of these, like, of course, you know, pipe in,
raise my hand.
If you saw any of these, raise your hand. So The Shining.
No.
Okay. The Shining. Airplane.
Classic.
No,
I mean, it's a classic though. It's really, it was.
Oh, yeah.
It's but it the Zucker Brothers.
I don't know if Dad saw it.
Yeah,
Dad saw a few movies before we got married that I never saw until I was a little older.
Yeah. Yeah, Airplane was really like
he had to watch them to make sure you could watch.
There were like parody movies.
Yeah,
of like, but this was like the start of like parodying like disaster movies. Yeah. And all of a sudden, Airplane was the Zucker Brothers and Abrams, and it was really it was when parody like. Parody movies were good.
I've seen the movie, but not in 1980 in the theaters.
Yeah. It was also before really the regulation of like a rating system. So the movie's PG, but there's a lady's naked breasts in the movie very briefly. Much like in 16 Candles.
Yes.
Cannibal Holocaust. You saw that, right?
Never heard of it.
Oh, baby.
It was what was considered in Britain a video nasty.
Oh,
which,
my.
Which it was one of those, But you remember the craze of the Blair Witch Project on how people were like, is this real? Is this
that's
not?
That's what Cannibal Holocaust footage was like.
Yeah. That was Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh, wow.
Or it's like a precursor to Blair Witch.
It was like
Blair
an actual
Witch.
Snuff film.
Yeah, where they were going to ban it from being in theaters and they were going to arrest the film crew until the actors had to show up in front of
like a panel of people. Oh, my gosh. I've never even heard of it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You're not big into horror.
No.
It's a huge monumental horror film.
No.
Yeah.
But do you remember this movie, Midnight Madness?
Is that Michael
J. Remember
Fox?
Seeing
it's young Michael J. Fox.
I remember seeing it, but not in 1980.
Yeah.
Saw it on TV.
It's a fun movie.
And Pee Wee Herman's in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Paul Rubens.
Eddie Deason. Eugene from Grease is in it. And then what's his face? He was an American Werewolf in
Dr.
Pepper
commercials. Dr. Pepper commercials.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah.
David Naughton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was in.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah. I saw that. We saw it on TV.
Yeah. It's for those of you out there, if you all can find it, last time I watched it, I was like 13, 14, and I really liked it. It's a fun movie. It's about like some like game that all these
like
different
a scavenger hunt
and people use their cars and scavenge. I mean, it's very much like a kind of like a rat race movie for those of you who are familiar
like
with the movie
mad,
Rat
mad,
Race
mad world,
in the same vein as those The Blue Lagoon, which
we saw that
which we saw that in movies two
in
affluent kids in a shipwreck, two 14, 15-year-old kids, and it's Brooke Shields.
They were little children.
They were actual children.
And it's one of those sexual awakening movies.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Yeah.
It's very strange. But that's kind of that and her modeling are what put Brooke Shields on the map.
Right.
Yeah. Raging Bull. Oh, classic. Great movie. Have you ever seen it, though?
No, never seen it.
It's good. I don't know how big of a fan of Scorsese you are.
I like some of his movies, and that was during a time it's like, it's black and white. I don't want to watch black and white
movies. I
thought
we were done with
it. It was not really my thing.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. But this was like...
It was a big deal.
Yeah. Not that he hasn't done gritty things now, but this was after Taxi Driver and King of Comedy was not far after that.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
really like seedy, gritty type Scorsese movies. Here's one you are familiar with, Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, yes.
Classic.
Yes.
Best Star Wars
movie.
Oh,
my gosh.
Did you see that, though?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to say, because you saw New Hope, six times?
I don't remember, how many times I saw it, but I saw...
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, I saw that multiple times in theater. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
Luke.
That being said, what was your reaction to, no, I am your father?
I didn't believe it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't
really?
Believe it. No.
You're like, no,
it's
can't
like
be.
He's yanking his chain.
Yeah, so you're yanking his chain, man.
Insult to injury. You already cut off his hand. Isn't that enough?
Yeah.
No, it was more emotional to see Han.
Yeah.
In the carbonite. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my gosh,
But our heroes are, because
they're being split apart.
Yeah,
and there's not a ton of sequels at this time, of course you get Empire Strikes Back. But did you have an inkling that they have to follow this up? They can't just leave it on a cliffhanger.
Oh yeah,
like
well
this.
We knew, I think.
Okay.
That there was going to be a third movie.
Okay.
At this point in time,
yeah.
And it was also. I lost my train of thought. The action figures.
Yeah.
were coming
huge,
out. Uncle Scott had a Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. And some of the other characters that Yoda.
Yeah.
Yoda. It's like, oh my gosh, yeah.
So many pivotal huge things.
Yes.
In
yes.
The movie.
No, that was it's like, I gotta wait 3 years to see that how
yeah.
what happens uh-huh. next.
Yeah.
It was like
That's awesome. Yeah, I was the same way with the first Spider-Man movie. Yeah. I was like, I gotta wait wait years. Here's another Blues Brothers.
Oh yeah, we saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we loved the Blues Brothers music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when the film came out, yeah, we saw that.
Yeah. Yeah. This one's kind of topical because Cindy Morgan, who played Lacey Underall in this, just passed away. Mm-hmm. But Caddyshack.
Yeah.
One of the greatest comedies of all time.
Oh, I did not see that in theaters.
I've
seen it several times, mm-hmm. but I think Dad probably went to the movies with friends and saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, we had, growing up, the dancing gopher animatronic.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Dad loves animatronics,
yeah,
but definitely
him
dancing.
We just watched the movie a week or so ago. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so funny.
It has, and
it's
that's
such a classic.
But it's also the start of, and which you'll see a pattern here, Kenny Loggins becoming the king of the 80s soundtrack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But Christmas Evil is another one. It's a horror movie.
Did Kenny Loggins do that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Please celebrate me home.
As he's killing people.
Christmas Evil. It's funny you mentioned, though, tied with music, the lead character in Christmas Evil, the actor, is the dad of Fiona Apple.
Oh.
Yeah.
Frank Apple?
Her name's not really Apple.
Oh.
Flash Gordon.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Which, you know,
yeah,
I mean, has
did not see that. That was like, yeah. Ugh, really?
Queen did the soundtrack, though.
Yeah.
And it's a cult classic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Elephant Man.
Didn't see that.
Anthony Hopkins,
yeah.
Flash Gordon versus the Elephant Man.
Yeah.
Was a sequel.
It was a sequel. Came out 6 months later.
Dress to Kill, 9 to 5.
Oh, yeah. We saw that. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Laughed so hard.
Well, Dabney Coleman.
Dabney Coleman, who just celebrated a birthday.
Yeah.
But it was the world's introduction to Dolly Parton as an actress.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. That was so funny. And the core, you know, cast is all women. It was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was working in an office at the time, and it was like, yes!
Yeah.
And just some of the scenes, like when they think they're carting around their boss's dead body driving like nut jobs.
It's just so funny.
And they think they've got him in the trunk, and they, you know, the trunk opens and they go back there, and it's just like, Dolly's, can you come back here a minute? And they figure out it isn't their boss. It's like, oh my gosh,
it's
laughed so
it's
hard.
It's great chemistry between three people that, you know, maybe you wouldn't have thought.
Because Dolly, Lily Tomlin.
Because Lily Tomlin was a stand-up at that point. She was an actress as well. But she's a stand-up. She's a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Jane Fonda, who, you know, I don't think she did a whole lot of comedy. Plus her father's
Peter
Fonda.
Should be a
war
criminal.
Yes. But no, she was not seen favorably.
No,
so she was
wasn't
iffy about being in this movie, but like Lily Tomlin and Dolly were like,
yeah,
no, like, you should be in this. We think you'd be great in this.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the chemistry was
It was just the whole environment at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Women were not, were oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in the office. They were being sexually harassed.
Yeah.
I mean, it still goes on.
Well, mm-hmm. sure.
And I was and didn't, you know, it was a time before, okay, this makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know,
but this is my boss or, you know.
Yeah. And it's like, what's going on here? You know, someone brushes up next to you. It's like, okay. But that was just like an anthem for women. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
9 to 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Working Girl later in the 80s was kind of the same thing. Friday the 13th.
Ah, which we talked about it on one of our 5 weeks of Fright a couple years ago.
Is that the one that takes place at a camp?
Yeah. Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
Actually, you're going to have to be more specific because there's plenty of slashers that take place at camp.
Okay, I think we didn't see that in theaters, but after Aunt Carrie and Uncle Ron got married, they were house-sitting for Grandma and Grandpa, and we went over because they had cable.
Oh.
We didn't have cable.
Oh. Yeah.
And I think we watched that and ended up spending the night because we were too scared to get in the car to go home.
There's nothing, because you don't have a lot of exposure to something like these and what would become slasher movies.
Right.
At the time.
Yeah.
Halloween
right.
was really the only thing
right.
on a grander scale
and
like that.
Like I said, not everybody had cable.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, shoot, Dad and I had a black and white TV when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was what we watched for many years.
Yeah.
Which is funny that when Raging Bull came out, you're like, oh, black and white movie. I'm above this.
Well,
it's like, what?
Well, when you go to when all you have is black and white,
yeah,
you go to
you
the movie theater,
yeah.
you want to see color.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Popeye, Robin Williams, and Shelley Duvall.
Shelley Duvall.
Ordinary People.
Oh my gosh.
Mary Tyler Moore won an Oscar for her performance in that.
That was a hard one to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we may have saw it in movie theaters. I don't, you know, remember 100%.
Yeah. Tyler, our younger brother Tyler, was in a production of Ordinary People. Superman.
He played an asshole.
Not far off from it. Oh, he really is. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Absolutely kidding. Superman 2, which I remember as a kid, I liked better than the first Superman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Never seen garbage eat garbage before. My favorite line from any superhero movie. The gods must be crazy. Private Benjamin, Goldie Hawn.
Oh, we saw that in the movie theater.
Another tale of a woman kind of proving.
Yeah, yeah. Because she was, you know, like the, I think they called them Japs, Jewish American princess.
Okay.
And she had, you know, she came from wealth and she never had to do anything for herself.
Yeah.
And her husband, you know, she marries, you know, and
she fell overboard and lost her memory.
No, that was another movie. And, you know, she marries this man because it was time to get married, and he dies on their honeymoon during
sexual intercourse.
Yes. And she's just kind of lost, and she sees something, you know, join the army, and it's like for an adventure. And she gets a rude awakening.
Yeah. Are you a victim of post-coital death? Join the army. Join the army. Are you finally blaming yourself? Join the army. We'll beat that blame right out of you. Are you such a sexual dynamo that you kill your partner? Do you need the discipline? Join the army. All right. So quite a few more titles here. Yeah. So I'm going to kind of bring
Fired Stripes.
Which
I don't remember.
I think
which
Stripes
came
was
out
before
that.
The Fog, which is a great early 80s horror movie, John Carpenter. The Changeling, George C. Scott, an underrated horror movie. Yeah. American Gigolo, an underrated horror movie.
We did see that. That was messed with your mind.
Oh, I can imagine. I've never seen it, but it's Richard Gere, and then also Call Me.
Yeah.
Is the song Call Me is in that.
Yeah, yeah, that was messed up. Mm. Yeah.
Fame.
Did not see that in the movies.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's a cult classic now.
Yeah, well, actually, I had never watched it until maybe this, in 2023.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? The original Fame?
Yeah, yep.
Wow.
We watched the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
But the movie, no.
Urban Cowboy, trying to capitalize off John Travolta's popularity from Saturday Night Fever.
We saw that.
Little Darlings, Tatum O'Neill, Christy McNichol.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's another kind of like sexual awakening movie. Kind of the precursor to movies like 13. And, Seems Like Old Times, which that's an all right movie. Chevy Chase, Charles Grodin, Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, we saw that in theaters. So we love that movie.
I didn't like the ending. It was one of those things where it seemed like Goldie Hawn was trying to, this whole time in the movie, she's trying to like rebuff the advances of her ex-boyfriend Chevy Chase. She remembers why she doesn't like him. Ex-husband, she remembers why she doesn't like him.
Yeah.
They endure hijinks together while she's also trying to like,
oh my gosh,
she loves her fiance Charles Grodin. Then like at the end they have like a breakdown, like their car breaks down, and Chevy Chase is an author. Spoiler alert. And they end up at his house, and like he opens the door and she sees him and gets like this big smile on her face. And I was like, I don't like that.
It was kind of, you almost wonder if maybe they did that after they did like a test audience type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
and,
know,
and
they added
wanted
it
to see her with Chevy Chase.
That's not the first movie they did together. Used Cars, speaking of the Goldie Hawn connection, which is the Kermit song, the Goldie Hawn connection from the Muppet movie. Used Cars, though, Kurt Russell. Stir Crazy, Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder. My Bodyguard with Adam Baldwin, a young Adam Baldwin.
Oh,
and then
Rudy
the Wabbit from Meatballs.
With Stir Crazy, I think we may have seen that in movies, the movies.
Okay.
It was Richard Pryor and
Gene Wilder.
Xanadu
with Olivia Newton-John.
I don't know that
disco rollerblading movie.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing that in the movies. Maybe we did.
Yeah. I mean, Dad kind of had a thing for Olivia Newton-John.
When did that come out?
1980.
No, when in 1980?
Oh, I don't know.
It may have come out, you know, I don't know.
1980.
When did that movie come out?
Was that 73?
I like the music.
Yeah.
You know, Electric Light Orchestra. Orchestra.
Yeah. Oh yeah, them and then Olivia Newton
Magic,
John, yeah.
The song Magic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Big Red One.
We saw that in theaters.
Yeah, Maniac, Where the Buffalo Roam, which is Bill Murray as Hunter S. Thompson, Coal Miner's Daughter.
Oh, that, yeah.
Excellent
movie.
Prom Night. Jamie Lee Curtis is all over the 80s in horror movies. The Fog, Prom Night, Terror Train.
Yeah.
Cheech and Chong's, it auto-corrected to Creech and Ching's next movie.
Creech and Ching's.
Cheech and Chong.
It's the Asian import.
Creech and Ching's. Oh, no. We told people we're screening Cheech and Chong. This is Creech and Ching's.
I don't know if this was a movie that was so bad that it could have been a horror movie. I don't remember what year it came out. It was C. Thomas Howell, Jamie
Soul
Lee
Man.
Curtis.
No. Soul Man is awful.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis, C. Thomas Howell, and Patrick Swayze.
Oh.
Grandview, USA, I think is what it's
called.
Sounds
familiar.
It was so bad.
I'm sure it's going to show up in one of these years.
Yeah.
But I hope it does so I can look into it. The sequel to the hilarious romp, Any Which Way But Loose, Any Which Way You Can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dad
or
saw
every
that
which way,
in
theater.
I think
which
Dad saw that in theaters. Yeah. He's a big Clint Eastwood fan.
Yeah. The first one, it's hysterical. It's so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Terror Train, the jazz singer, the 80s
Neil Diamond,
interpretation of the jazz singer, Neil Diamond. Raise the Titanic, Smoking the Bandit 2.
We saw that in theaters.
I'm sure. Sally Field, Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
Bronco Billy, and Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, we didn't see that in theaters.
New Year's Evil, Herbie Goes Bananas, The Private Eyes with Don Knotts and Tim Conway. Mm-hmm. The Octagon with Chuck Norris. Bon Voyage, Charlie
Chuck
Brown.
Chuck Norris, yes.
Sorry.
Yes. Bon Voyage, Charlie Brown, in parentheses, and Don't Come Back. that's what it's really called. Another family film, The Happy Hooker Goes to Hollywood.
Yes.
The Young Master with Jackie Chan. Hussy with Jackie Chan.
Yeah,
no, that's with Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Ruckus. A movie called Ruckus, according to the IMDb. And according to IMDb, paraphrased, a Vietnam vet travels through a small town, is hassled by local bullies, and he uses his combat skills to dispatch the bullies, leading to a police manhunt.
Rambo.
That would say
Rambo.
Essentially, that's
Rambo.
No, it's Ruckus.
Sorry.
It's a double feature with Can't Stop the Music starring the Village People. Really, we're trying to get disco to continue into the 80s. Animal Olympics, Animal Kingdom stages their own Olympic Games. Oh, Heavenly Dog, detective murdered and must avenge his murderer after being reincarnated as a dog. I think Chevy Chase is in there. I don't remember. Fatso with Dom DeLuise, The Last Flight of Noah's Ark. Oh, God, Book 2. Hero at Large, which is John Ritter stops a robbery dressed as a superhero promoting a movie, tries his hand at heroism to impress his cute neighbor.
Oh.
Jerry Lewis and Hardly Working. The Long Riders, and finally, The Puma Man.
The Puma Man.
I've been watching Mystery Science Theater 3000 streaming since before Christmas and have not stopped, and The Puma Man is one of the more famous Mystery Science Theater 3000 episodes.
Yep, I love The Puma Man. Some albums from 1980.
Yes.
A lot of classic ones. Mm-hmm. We're going to start off with the most classic, After Dark by Andy Gibb.
Yes.
Did not have
He's
that.
He's shooting lightning bolts out of his thumb.
I think Aunt Becky probably had that.
He's shooting lightning bolts out of his thumbs.
Oh, my gosh.
How many of his brothers were on there? It's where technically they're just Barry Gibb songs.
Yeah.
There was the hit, like the one hit that when I go over songs from 80 is all of his brothers.
Oh,
on there.
Of course.
So, Auto American from Blondie, which had Call Me on it.
Yeah.
Celebrate from Cool and the Gang. Union Jacks from The Babies, which John Waite and all in the gang. You're a Babies fan.
Now. I mean, back then.
Oh, but back then you weren't?
Not really, no.
Oh, okay.
No. I was, there was not into a lot of different types of music. I mean, we liked Frank Sinatra and, with the popular stuff at the time. But it wasn't, the Babies were kind of in our wheelhouse.
I also keep forgetting you were barely not a teenager and in your 20s. And I remember when I was in my 20s, I had much more narrow taste in music.
Yeah.
Until into mid-20s, late 20s, and now to where it's just all over the place. Mm-hmm. Just as you get older and as more of the 80s music comes out in the 80s, then you get a wider taste.
Yeah. more into whatever the top 40 on the uh-huh. radio was, and maybe I heard that, but it wasn't in my wheelhouse.
Gotcha. Zenyatta Mandata from The Police.
Good album.
Kaleidoscope from Susie and the Banshees. 17 Seconds from The Cure. Crocodiles from Echo and the Bunnymen. Never Forever by Kate Bush. In the Flat Field from Bauhaus. Permanent Waves from Rush. Freedom of Choice by Devo.
Ah, is the girl you want on there.
Yeah.
Aunt Lori probably had that.
Heaven and Hell from Black Sabbath. Which was their first album
Dio.
First album without Ozzy and with Ronnie James Dio. Peter Gabriel by Peter Gabriel. Emotional Rescue from the Rolling Stones. Women and Children First from Van Halen, which had Everybody Wants Some, which was in Better Off Dead. Better Off Dead.
Really? When
John Cusack brings the hamburger to life.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
That's the song that the burger is singing.
Yeah, and that's a Christmas movie.
Yes, because there's Christmas in it. Duke by Genesis. Songs the Lord Taught Us from the Cramps. Glass Houses from Billy Joel.
Oh, yeah, we had that.
Great.
We had that album.
I have the vinyl in my living room.
Did you steal it from us?
No.
Remain in Light from the Talking Heads.
Ah, nice.
Ace of Spades by Motorhead.
Yes.
Classic album. Scary Monsters. Cut off the title. Scary Monsters and then something in parentheses by David Bowie. Boy from U2. Argy Bargy by Squeeze. Sandinista by The Clash. Closer from Joy Division. The River, Bruce Springsteen. Crimes of Passion, Pat Benatar. Great album.
Great album.
The Wanderer of Donna Summer. Back in Black, AC/DC.
Yes, classic.
I think we had a lot of Donna Summer music too.
I do remember seeing Donna Summer around the house. We kept her in a closet.
Back in Black was because AC/DC was a big band up at that time.
Yeah.
Bon Scott dies. They're like, okay, now what? That's their singer. Brian Johnson comes on and they put out their biggest album ever.
Yeah, Back in Black is huge. I still have that album in my car.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty Mind from Prince. Warm Leatherette by Grace Jones. British Steel from Judas Priest.
Classic.
Saved by Bob Dylan. Empty Glass by Pete Townsend. Double Fantasy from Yoko Ono.
Ugh.
Yeah, I don't like Yoko Ono. Black Sea from XTC. Hotter Than July, Stevie Wonder. Blizzard of Oz, Ozzy Osbourne. Making Movies, Dire Straits. Gaucho by Steely Dan. Voices, Hall and Oates. Warm Thoughts from Smokey Robinson. Uprising from Bob Marley and the Wailers. Wild Planet, the B-52s. Doc at the Radar Station by Captain Beefheart.
What?
You had his poster, right? You weren't in college.
Captain Beefheart
and
the Beef Boys. Heart Attack and Vine, Tom Waits. Ark of Diver, Steve Winwood.
I had that.
Did you?
That. Oh, I love that.
Super Trooper, ABBA.
Yeah, we had that.
Triumph from the Jackson 5. Go All the Way, the Isley Brothers. TP from Teddy Pendergrass. Roberta Flack featuring Don. It cut it off again. I didn't do my due diligence.
Don Imus.
Yeah, some of these titles are cut off, and I didn't, for some reason, didn't get the full one. Anyway, Naughty from Chaka Khan, Released from Patti LaBelle, Power with the Temptations, Give Me the Night from George Benson, Love Somebody Today from Sister Sledge, The Two of Us, Yarborough and Peoples, Three for Love from Shalimar, Cameosis from Cameo, Let's Get Serious by Jermaine Jackson.
He should have been as big as Michael.
Yeah, no.
So says he.
Yeah, in his words. It's like, I had just as good a catalog as Michael. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Light Up the Night from the Brothers Johnson. Diana by Diana Ross. Love Lives Forever from Minnie Riperton, who if you, Maya Rudolph.
Yeah.
That's her mom, Minnie Riperton. Something to Believe In, Curtis Mayfield, and Once Again from Isaac Hayes. Animal Magnetism by Scorpions.
Yeah.
On Through the Night from Def Leppard.
Yeah.
Great album.
First album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chinatown from Thin Lizzy. Ready and Willin' from Whitesnake. Cultosaurus Erectus from Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh my gosh.
Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden, yeah.
Loverboy. Mm-hmm. Departure, Journey.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we had that. Yep. Yeah.
I'm a Rebel by Accept. Danger Zone from Sammy Hagar. Unmasked by Kiss. Progressions of Power.
Oh, Uncle Scott was a big Kiss
fan. Oh, yeah.
Progressions of Power from Triumph. High Infidelity from REO Speedwagon, which is huge. Mm-hmm. Bad Reputation, Joan Jett. Flush the Fashion, Alice Cooper. All Shook Up, Cheap Trick. Bebe Lestrange from Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Guilty by Barbara Streisand.
Oh, we had that.
Yeah. Foolish Behavior, Rod Stewart. Flesh and Blood, Roxy Music. 9 to 5 and Odd Jobs, Dolly Parton.
Mm-hmm.
Drama by Yes. Popeye from Harry Nilsson. King of the Wild Frontier, Adam and the Ants.
Mm.
Or Adam Ant.
Or at this
it
time,
was Adam and the Ants and then Adam.
Really?
Ant.
Yeah.
Oh.
Against the Wind, Bob Seger.
Yeah.
Her Strut, Against the Wind, like her Fire Lake. Like,
I love so many of his songs. I feel like Her Strut's like his best one.
Oh, easily.
Oh, I don't know. Fire Lake.
Fire Lake is good. Yeah. The Game, Queen. McCartney 2, Paul McCartney. Clues from Robert Palmer. The Jazz Singer, Neil Diamond. I have Against the Wind in here twice. Mad Love, Linda Ronstadt. Gideon from Kenny Rogers. 180 by Ambrosia.
Mm.
And Come Upstairs by Carly Simon.
And Huey Lewis in the News by Huey Lewis in the
News. Again, I missed
Bryan
something.
Adams by Bryan Adams.
Yes. Yeah, I miss those?
Depends
on where you go.
Know about Huey Lewis in 1980.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Which is crazy because he would grow to become one of your favorites.
After that big... Sports, yeah. I think, was the first album we had.
I'm going to look it up real quick.
Yeah. And then some big songs from 1980, Call Me by Blondie, mm-hmm. Upside Down by Diana Ross, All Out of Love by Air Supply, Give Me the Night, George Benson, Take Your Time Off, Do It Right, the SOS Band, Magic, Olivia Newton-John, Don't Stand So Close to Me, The Police.
Don't Stand.
Mm-hmm. Love Will Tear Us Apart from Joy Division. Shining Star from the Manhattans.
You know what that song is about? Stand So Close to Me.
I feel like I do, but
it's about isn't it about Lolita?
It's like he was a teacher.
Yeah,
and it's just, you know,
in the book by Nabokov there's the line in there. Mm-hmm. In some book by Nabokov.
Oh, the Lolita, the book Lolita.
Yeah, it's about a student.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Young teacher, the subject, schoolgirl's fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Listen to the lyrics, man.
I hate lyrics. Woman in Love from Barbara Streisand. Shook Me All Night Long, AC/DC. Yeah. Xanadu from Olivia Newton-John. I'm Coming Out by Dana Ross. Celebration from Cool and the Gang.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a Lifetime from the Talking Heads. How Do I Make You, Linda Ronstadt. Desire by Andy Gibb, which has all the Bee Gees on it.
Mm-hmm.
Another One Bites the Dust from Queen.
Yeah.
And then pretty much anything from The Game. Against the Wind, Fire Lake, Bob Seger. Mm-hmm. In America, Charlie Daniels Band. Master Blaster, parentheses Jammin', Stevie Wonder.
Jammin' into the break of dawn.
Yeah, exactly. Super Trooper from ABBA. Ashes to Ashes from David Bowie. Lady. Kenny Rogers, written by Lionel Richie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crazy Little Thing Called Love by Queen. Just some of the bigger songs in 1980.
Huey Lewis and the News, the first album did come out in 1980, but the only song that like ended up on like a greatest hits was Trouble in Paradise.
Yeah. That was a great album, but I didn't buy it it was CDs by the time I got it.
You prefer the live version of that song too, right?
Yeah.
So much more to come, especially if you're a huge fan of 80s music.
Oh,
it's
man.
Only it will
this was,
oh
ver-
my gosh.
It was very
in,
hard
in the words of Howard Jones, things can only
get
better.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
my gosh.
Like it, that
the
will happen
best,
in the 80s.
The 80s were one of the best times in music.
Oh, you can definitely make an argument for the 80s being the best time.
Best time in hair.
Mm.
Big hair.
Yeah, there's a lot of people
who
made.
I had some big hair.
Yeah.
Shoulder pads.
And
I was skinny. And
the 80s was a foundational time for a lot of, especially American culture, which, goes to show when the Berlin Wall came down.
Yeah.
Like the East Germany and wherever else, like, you know, they wanted all what was big in the 80s.
Age of excess.
Yeah.
A decade of decadence.
Definitely.
Yeah.
With that, that's the biggest thing. That's the kind of the crux of everything. It's a decade of decadence. Yes. Was the 1980,
yeah. And excess,
then excess, and then the residual effects of what was come to be known of like some of the detrimental things in the 80s is what we had to deal with and made a lot of people jaded in the 90s.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
But television. It's evergreen, except some of the shows that came out in 1980. Now, some of the events in television, Black Entertainment Television, starts as a programming block on the Madison Square Garden Network, Madison Square Garden Sports Network, but BET isn't launched as a channel until 1983. But it's the groundwork for BET. The Young and the Restless airs its first hour-long episode.
Yeah. I saw one of the first very first episodes of Young and the Restless. I was homesick from school. It was like 73.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my gosh, what is this? It's like,
it's your introduction to soap operas.
No, not my introduction to soap operas. It was a unique format. Mm-hmm. It's really good. There was a lot of, it was just one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
Well, and you would go on, that's one of the things, that's one of the big things I remember from childhood is like soap operas were like always on. Uh-huh. Whether it was like General Hospital, Port Charles, All My Children, mm-hmm. Young
Days
and the Restless,
Days of Our Lives.
There was always you were always taping an episode or recording, or watching a soap opera.
Oh yeah, those VHS tapes.
Well, it's a wonder. It's a wonder I never got into. Which I guess we got into wrestling, so it's kind of the same thing.
Well, there was a time there that Dad and I couldn't watch the VHS of Young and the Restless until Dad could watch it with me.
Yep. You know, it's funny. It's not just him, but so many people, like, they'll scoff at a soap opera.
Yeah.
But then, like, you don't hear them for a while. Like, they're just sitting there, and then, like, Dan ends up, they're like, oh, come on. Why would he do that to her? Like, it ends up they get into it. Yeah. It's just this odd way of storytelling. That very much it hooks you and engrosses you. Yeah. And, I hesitate to even say but the acting but they also record they film every day a new episode comes out every day, so the acting's gonna kind of fall
and they
a little
had
bit.
You know, they had pages and pages of dialogue.
John Stamos talks about it in his book, like when he was on
for so many
General
years
Hospital?
He was on General Hospital. I didn't see. That's when I was working full time and I didn't have video recorders and we had a black and white TV, but we didn't have cable. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to see Luke and Laura's wedding because I was at work.
Yeah.
Work. Yeah. What do you mean work?
Luke and Laura are getting married. This tumultuous relationship.
Yeah, but there were so many years that soap operas were a big part of my TV viewing.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's like, what the heck? Who are these people?
Did you see Rick Springfield first on General Hospital, or did you hear his music first?
Because
you're a Rick Springfield fan.
His music first, but it was before. Mm-hmm. It was from the 70s.
Right, right.
It was I had a cousin that she had one of his record albums saw him in that cartoon that he was in. Saw him on Wonder Woman. He was on the Rockford Files. So I knew who he was. But he wasn't the big star that he became.
According to John Stamos, he was not very nice.
And I maybe saw him a couple times on General Hospital. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I was at work. When those, that big push of some of these stars. And it's amazing to look back in hindsight. A lot of the actors... Mm-hmm. The older actors that were on the soap operas came from movies.
Yeah.
They came from the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
30s, 40s movies. Mm-hmm.
Well,
that
was a
time
that was
considered
a step down to
go
from movies to television.
Exactly. Yeah.
But also, if you're a working actor, if you can get on a soap opera and almost be guaranteed to be a character who's going to have longevity.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that be damned. I'm getting paid, and I'm on.
Exactly.
I don't know where I was, but like a soap opera, we were at the happy hour the day, my last day of work, and there was a soap opera on one of the TVs, and I recognized so many of the characters just from when I saw like as a kid when they were on the shows you would watch.
A lot of them are
like,
still on there.
People are still around?
Yeah.
That's but, Sonny Corinthos. You know, I said that. I was like, that's Sonny Corinthos.
Yeah. I saw, for the first time in years, I saw soap opera when I spent the night at night at Grandma and Grandpa's after Grandpa had that cardiac cath. And they were watching a recording of the day's episode of Young the Restless. It's like, I know who that is. I know who that is. But who's this other person?
Yeah.
You know, they have, it's a character that was in the soap opera, but it's a different actor. Oh. And who's with who and what the heck?
Yes.
You know?
I'm so lost.
I am lost. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is so cheesy.
Yes, it is. It keeps coming back. But someone who was not cheesy, Walter Cronkite, announces his retirement.
Mm-hmm. He killed JFK.
Yeah, I know.
Madison Square, orchestrated it.
Yeah, the Madison Square Garden Sports Network is rechristened the USA Network. NFL Draft televised for the first time on ESPN. CNN begins broadcasting, like you had mentioned. The primetime Emmys air on NBC. Bob Costas makes his debut broadcasting MLB games for NBC. Saturday Night Live premieres its new season with an entirely new cast, new writers, and new showrunner. And those 80s SNLs outside of
Joe Pesci. Up until about 86.
Yeah, up until, you know, the Phil Hartman, Nora Dunn, Jan Hooks, Dana Carvey, Kevin Nealon, John Lovitz stuff, and on into the 90s. Those first few years, outside of Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy, they were panned. Those 80s casts and those 80s seasons.
Robert Downey Jr., Anthony Michael Hall, they were part of one of those casts.
Yeah. But some of the people you're like, holy smokes.
Randy Quaid.
Yeah. Jim Belushi, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
But it all in all, no matter kind of what talent came out of it, you know, those 80s casts until about 86 and even then. But, you know, SNL almost became a joke because Lorne Michaels was gone at the beginning of 1980. CBS bans a Calvin Klein ad starring 15-year-old Brooke Shields for being too suggestive, which is good.
Yeah.
Nancy McKeon debuts as Joe in season 2 of Facts of Life.
Yeah.
Watched Facts of Life.
Oh, yeah. Watched the Facts of Life. That was, it's like, I don't even know why it appealed to me because it was like kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, they're
we
still...
We didn't watch the first season. We watched the second season.
Yeah, the first season of Molly Ringwald.
You're a big Nancy McKeon fan. And so when you're like, she's on this show, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That show doesn't take no guff.
It's teenage girls dealing with stuff that you went through as a teenage girl.
Yeah, and I guess I wasn't that far removed from being a teenager.
Yeah, that's true.
I can give them guidance, you say to your TV.
Not far removed from being a teenager, Eddie Murphy makes his first appearance on SNL.
Yeah.
The Murder of John Lennon. First regularly scheduled closed captions on American Network Television. Who Shot J.R. saga begins on March 21st after J.R. Ewing during an episode of Dallas shot by an unknown assailant. That was humongous.
That was huge. Yeah, we watched Dallas. Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
That was must-see TV.
I want to find a Who Shot JR shirt.
Yeah.
So some television debuts. So these shows debuted The Stocker Channing Show on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Flow, a.k.a. The Kiss My Grits Show on CBS. Fridays on ABC, which was an answer to SNL.
It's The Stocker Channing Show. What's the Riz with Riz? With Rizzo.
Exactly. But Fridays had like Michael Richards was on there.
Yeah.
Bosom Buddies on ABC.
Yeah.
Larry
that
David was
we
on Fridays.
That. Yeah.
Bosom Buddies.
Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, Peter Scolari.
Peter Scolari.
Barbara Mandrell and the Mandrell Sisters on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo Show on ABC, which is unlike the show from 1979 of the exact same name.
And this is something that's going to come up a lot is that like people watched like three channels.
Yeah.
Primarily. Like that was network TV.
Yeah. We had Channel 11, Channel 30.
Yeah.
ABC, NBC, CBS, and then
those
the
were the
two.
Big three.
And on Channel 11 and Channel 30, it was a lot of syndicated stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo show on ABC, which is, there was a show in 1979 of the exact same name, but this is Scooby, Scrappy,
and
Shaggy. Deals. This time, Scooby, Scrappy, and Shaggy are dealing with real monsters and supernatural threats.
John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Soink, Scoob, it's John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, it's the crown. The Cougar crown.
Too Close for Comfort or the Ted Knight Show on ABC.
Yeah, we watched that.
Yeah. Texas on NBC, which is a soap opera spinoff of Another World.
That you can say of Dallas.
Yeah.
Watched a few episodes of that.
Yeah. Okay. Live Wire on Nickelodeon, which is a talk show for kids about current events. The Tom and Jerry comedy show on CBS. Solid Gold, which is a show in line with Soul Train and American Bandstand.
Yeah. Okay. Solid Gold.
Mm-hmm.
The Solid Gold dancers. I think.
They're in Scrooged.
Yeah.
No, I think I could be mistaken. But she was married to Wayne Gretzky.
Oh,
she's from St.
Louis.
Janet Jones. Janet Jones.
Yeah. I think she was a Solid Gold dancer. Okay. But she was on one of those types of shows.
Yeah.
And my Uncle Donnie knew her father.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
He's a bastard. He's a bastard. He's a rat bastard.
That
Why,
may
he
have
talk
been,
about
that,
me? I don't know.
That may have been the year. Don't quote me on this.
Okay.
Uncle Donnie was on Bowling for Dollars. It was local TV show.
Okay.
They may have had it in other cities.
Yeah, yeah.
But he went on Bowling for Dollars, and it was they recorded up there near Village Square.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Okay. And there was a bowling alley there.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, he did really well on that
show. Dropped the ball on his foot.
Yeah, no.
He got disqualified. Yeah. you don't get your security deposit back.
Security deposit?
To be on the show. I don't know. Security spot on Bowling for Dollars.
Should have taken out some insurance.
Okay.
Breaking Away, which is Sean Cassidy, was in a prequel to the film Breaking Away.
Yeah, I think we probably watched a few episodes of that.
Yeah, okay. Because you'd seen the movie.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cosmos, A Personal Journey, hosted by Carl Sagan on PBS. Mm-hmm. Thundar the Barbarian on ABC. Magnum P.I. on CBS.
And you know
Ever
what?
Heard of it?
We love Magnum P.I., mm-hmm. but we did not start watching it till it was like two or three seasons in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's when it really, like, you don't know until it's, like, a proven entity. So.
But Grandma and Grandpa Webster watched it.
Yeah.
I really liked that show.
Yeah. And then finally, the David Letterman Show on NBC, which became groundbreaking for talk shows and kind of led to inspiring people like Conan O'Brien for the Conan O'Brien Show.
Was it after The Tonight Show?
This was during The Tonight Show. So this was...
Like, did it come on?
It came on after The Tonight Show.
Yeah, it was late night with David Letterman.
Uh-huh, then there was, I think, his connection with Johnny Carson there is when he was like, oh, I'm going to take over The Tonight Show. And, do this for the kids. You know, Jay Leno took over.
Jay Leno's a little worm.
He is
a worm.
Jay Leno. And some shows that were ending, The Rockford Files, Hawaii Five-0, Barnaby Jones, and Dinah, the Dinah Shore Show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sports. Some sports.
Oh, before you.
Yes.
Dinah Shore.
Uh-huh.
Was in a long-term relationship with Burt Reynolds.
Oh, I
really?
Thought she was a, I mean. This,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were, before he was with Sally Field, he was with Dinah Shore. And it was a big deal because she was so much older than him.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Yeah. Which is now, that's like a, that's something just people do and they're out in the open about.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sports. 1980. Yes.
I'll just sit back.
Yeah. So just maybe if we talk about the Cardinals, you know about your buddy Keith Hernandez.
We won't talk about the Cardinals. but in the Super Bowl, the Steelers beat the LA Rams.
Mm.
And so this was they were the respective AFC and NFC champions of 1979.
Right.
The Super Bowl took place in 1980. Mm-hmm. The New Orleans Saints became the NFL's first ever 1-15 team.
Ah.
And then the Raiders and Eagles were the AFC and NFC champs of 1980, and they would play in the Super Bowl in 1981.
Yeah. Were the football Cardinals still here in 80?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cardiac Cardinals.
Yeah.
In baseball, Raleigh Fingers breaks Hoyt Wilhelm's major league record of 250 saves.
Mm.
The 1980 World Series was the Phillies and the Royals, and the Phillies winning their first ever World Series title. Mm-hmm. Japan's Sadaharu Oh retires from the Yomiuri Giants as the all-time professional baseball home run king.
Mm-hmm.
He hit 868 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
In the NBA Finals, the Lakers beat the 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
And boxing, members in March 14th through the 22nd, or no, March 14th, 22 members of the United States Olympic boxing team died in a plane crash near Warsaw, Poland.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
In June 20th, Roberto Duran defeats Sugar Ray Leonard for the WBC World Welterweight title. Larry Holmes beats Muhammad Ali for the WBC World Heavyweight title and what would be Ali's last world title bout. November 25th, Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran II took place, also known as
No Mas.
The No Mas fight,
yep.
Which in the seventh, I can't remember if it's the seventh or eighth round, but pretty much Roberto Duran, hands of stone. Like, yeah. He is just one of the most fearsome fighters to ever live.
Yeah.
And just would maul people. And like his fights with Sugar Ray Leonard were classic.
Mm-hmm.
And he just inexplicably gave up in the middle of the fight.
How could he lift his gloves if they were made of stone?
So
good night, everybody. This is why I'm glad we're not live, so I can cut that.
But the thing of it is, it didn't hurt his career because he just went on to continue to maul people. But there's a great 30 for 30 called No Mas. Yeah. Exactly. And basically, it was just this like it didn't make any sense.
Yeah,
like he's this fearsome fighter that would just destroy people, and he just gives up. Which No Mas means no more.
Yeah.
He some would say is because he was improperly he was improperly conditioned. He'd say stomach cramp, it's a whole load of things, but
didn't he see Rocky?
I guess not. There 1980. Were two, there were two of them out at this point, maybe he didn't. I don't know.
You should have watched Rocky.
And golf, the Senior PGA Tour was founded. It's now called the Champions Tour. The winner of the Masters was Steve Ballesteros. U.S. Open was Jack Nicklaus.
Wait a minute. You want to tell me they've got a league called Champions, then they have a league called
Ted Lasso.
And then the championship?
Yeah, Ted Lasso.
Mom and Dad just got into Ted Lasso.
Oh, my gosh. We just finished
the whole show.
The whole show.
It's wonderful.
My gosh.
As soon as Father and Son comes on with Cat Stevens, I'm like, not this song. I'm gonna start crying.
I didn't cry, but I felt like I was gonna start crying.
It's wonderful.
Especially when they're showing that video.
Spoiler alert.
When they're showing the video before the soccer match, I'm thinking in my head, this is a mistake. This is the wrong time to show this.
Start crying. Yeah. I held off on watching the final episode because I was like, I don't want it to end.
Yeah.
So, but
okay, sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay. No. Ted Lasso.
Glad to hear that you guys finished it. And you guys
it's
liked
amazing.
It.
It's so good. British Open, Tom Watson, PGA Championship, Jack Nicklaus, and for tennis, Arthur Ashe retires from professional tennis. The Grand Slam in tennis, the men's results, Australian Open is Brian Teacher, French Open is Bjorn Borg, Wimbledon Championships is Bjorn Borg, U.S. Open is John McEnroe. Women in the Australian Opens, Hanna Mandalikova, French Open was Chris Evert, Wimbledon Championships was Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley, U.S. Open is Chris Evert.
Yvonne,
you played tennis.
Sure.
But I
we were kind of we were yeah because Jimmy Connors was from St. Louis or from on the Belleville, I think.
Close enough
but,
to this area.
Yeah, but at that point in time, I enjoyed hitting the tennis ball around. But I enjoyed following it, and then it was the introduction of John McEnroe, the bad boy, and then Bjorn Borg. That was Chrissy Everett, and Jimmy Connors were the sweethearts of tennis. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bjorn Borg had a nice headband.
Martina Navratilova.
For the 90s and 2000s decade retrospectives, we did wrestling, and that was a little easier to track because
were there any hockey?
USA won the
Miracle on Ice.
Hockey's in here.
The Islanders won the Stanley Cup.
That was really it. The Islanders Islanders won the Stanley Cup with Bobby Nystrom.
I mean, the Islanders team, 79-80, 80-81, 81-82, 82-83 were
you
four Stanley Cups in a row.
You can watch the Blues on Channel 11.
Yeah. That was very notable because now you have to like pay for a streaming service to watch it.
But it was their first Stanley Cup in a line of four in a row Stanley Cups.
I did have hockey. I don't know where
I mean,
it went.
outside of maybe like the Miracle on Ice, maybe a few other notable things in the NHL. We mentioned this in the 90s hockey episode. Hockey was, unless you know, you had a hockey team, like we had the Blues.
Yeah.
St. Louis has been Blues fans ever since. The vast majority of America, they didn't really televise hockey unless it was the playoffs.
But I'm going to do some wrestling stuff. It's going to be a little shaky up until about 85 because the WWF was not the powerhouse that it was.
Still
so
splintered.
So in the 90s and 2000s, it's easier because there was just like two, three major companies.
It was Wrestling at the Chase.
Wrestling at the
still
Chase.
On.
It's still splintered. It's still splintered into territories at this
and
point.
And it was either late at night or early Sunday morning.
So, and they're still, the National Wrestling Alliance was still.
They were the big, they're the head honchos of everything.
But just some notable events at Madison Square Garden. Ken Patera pins Pat Patterson to become the Intercontinental Champion, WWF Intercontinental Champion. Nick Bockwinkel's five-year reign as the AWA World Heavyweight Champion. I'll be quiet.
It's what sounds too much like Bullwinkle.
Anywho, it's ended as Vern Gagne pinned him in Chicago because, of course, to become the new champion. He retired after this bout, which doesn't seem very kosher for professional wrestling. Whatever, it was his territory.
Especially promoters at that time were such egocentric head cases that the only way this is going to be successful is if I'm the world champion. Yeah.
But it was his territory, whatever.
And plus, it was successful, so whether or not it was that or whatever.
Yeah. The Philadelphia Spectrum, Tony Garea and Rick Martel pinned the Wild Samoans to become the new WWF Tag Team Champions. At Madison Square Garden, Pedro Morales pinned Ken Patera to become the new Intercontinental Champion. Mm-hmm. However, this bout originally was going to be aired on the MSG network, but was never shown due to news coverage of the assassination of John Lennon. Pro Wrestling Illustrated, I'm going to go over their awards. Wrestler of the Year is Bob Backlund. Mm. Tag Team of the Year is Jimmy Snuka and Ray Stevens. Match of the Year is Bruno Sammartino versus Larry Zbyszko. It's a showdown at Shea.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Wrestling 2 is the most popular wrestler of the year. Larry Zbyszko is the most hated wrestler of the year. Tony Atlas is most improved. Junkyard Dog is most inspirational. Terry Taylor is the Rookie of the Year. Mm. Red Rooster, Terry Taylor. And Oliver Humperdinck is the Manager of the Year.
Oh, well.
And then the Observer Newsletter, Wrestler of the Year is Harley Race. Feud of the Year is Sammartino versus Zbyszko. Tag Team of the Year is the Fabulous Freebirds.
Ah.
Terry Gordy and Buddy Roberts. Mm. Most improved is Larry Zbyszko. Retirements, Haystacks Calhoun and legendary promoter Eddie Graham.
Ah, okay. Yep.
Legendary Florida promoter.
Yes. Yeah. And just like a lot of, you know, wrestling wasn't what it became, you know, starting in the 80s. Here's some video games. Video games are not what they would become, but still popular in their own right. So for arcades, Namco releases Pac-Man, which you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Missile Command from Atari. Crazy Climber, which first game to introduce climbing mechanic and the objective of climbing to the top of a level. Rally X, which is the first game to introduce a bonus round. Battle Zone, first 3D tank shooter. Space Panic, first game at platforms and ladders. For the console, Space Invaders port on Atari Video Computer System, and first console title to sell a million copies. The first games from Activision, Dragster, Fisher Derby, Boxing, Bridge, and Checkers for the Video Computer System.
Checkers.
Yep, and some pinball machines that came out in 1980. Yes. So Ali, Alien Poker, Algar, The Amazing
Al Gore.
Yes. the Amazing.
He was inventing the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
The Amazing Spider-Man, Asteroid, Annie and the Aliens, Black Knight, Flight 2000, Xenon, Frontier, and Firepower. So I only added pinball machines because you're a pinball wizard.
Yeah.
So thank you all for joining us, these three wizards.
That was 1980.
We three wizards, 1980, jam-packed with so much stuff. I mean, it helped that our mom was here to comment on a lot of stuff. But that doesn't mean it's going to be any less jam-packed for all the subsequent years here in the 80s. The 80s, again, huge shift in so many things, in so many ways, especially coming out of the tumultuous 70s. Mm-hmm. But the 70s also had its merits as well.
So much in TV, music, movies. Talked about the rating system changing. And there was just, it was just a great time to be alive.
Oh, absolutely. And to spend your 20s, no matter if you had kids or were married or single or whatever or not.
Oh, still my gosh, being MTV.
MTV came out in 1981.
Oh, we're going to talk about that in 81 episode.
MTV, MTV should have its own episode because of just how groundbreaking it was.
Yeah. I can remember being up late at night. One of the few times we had cable, you know, it's one of those things where you would get it and then it's like, oh, I can't afford it, and well, no, we didn't even have MTV. They had a local video like on Saturday night. A local, you know, they played videos and it was, they were introduced by local people, but it wasn't local videos. It was, you know, music video show.
You know, you get the Pat Benatar video that just showed on MTV.
You know, sitting in a rocking chair with Andrew, you know, trying to get him to go to
sleep. Hi, I'm Ozzie Smith. Here's the newest one from Huey Lewis in the News.
But yeah, it was great. Great time.
Oh, yeah, great absolutely. A great time to be alive for those of you that were. Again, like we mentioned at the beginning, Matt and I didn't even spend a second alive in the 80s. Oh, we were born in 1991.
Yeah, I forgot to mention, it was the first time I got to fly, go in an airplane.
Oh. Yeah, you said there was a lot of firsts in 1980.
Yeah, went to out to Uncle Bob's first wedding.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool, well,
I became a pilot after
that. The Seattle sports team was on the plane, too.
Really?
The Mariners?
No, it may have been the Seahawks.
The Seals?
It was, we were, it was in, I think, in October. So I don't know if it was football or basketball.
It could have
been. I
think
it was football.
Okay. So it was either the Seahawks or the Supersonics.
Yeah, yeah. They were.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But did Dad mention? He's like, hey, that's Jim Zorn.
No. I think that I heard Steve people Largent. Talking about it, you know, on the plane. But anyway. Okay. Yeah.
That's
anyway.
Jim Zorn.
Anywho.
Ask Jim Zorn for his autograph for me.
Hey, lady, hold this. I got to use the John.
Hold my Heineken, lady. Mazel tov.
That's Jim Zorn. Anyway.
Said Mazel tov because you and Dad were on your honeymoon, probably.
No, we didn't have a honeymoon.
What?
Oh, well.
We spent all our money for the wedding.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And then
I've seen that wedding book. It was not that great of a wedding. I think you need to get your money back.
The reception was in the conquistador room.
Of the church?
No. It was in the, over here on Waterford. Uh-huh. You know where those I think there's an auto supply place and there's the JJ's.
Yeah.
And over there was a place that in the basement of the retail space. They had a hall.
Okay.
No. Grandma did all the food.
Yeah.
The night before
Grandma
the
Parrot.
Wedding. Grandma Parrot, yeah. Mm-hmm. The night before the wedding, the bridesmaids and I were peeling potatoes for the potato salad.
It's going to be a Great Depression.
Man, this decade's going to rule.
Can't wait to be married.
So, yes, eventually, despite your meager beginnings there, the 80s did rule, and we cannot wait to continue on, Mom. Thank you for joining
You're
us.
You're welcome. Love you.
Love you, too.
So much.
Yes, love you, too.
Much more than Diet Coke.
That's saying something.
Yeah.
But thank you all for joining us. We love you all, too. And until the next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.